Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the program, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Good to have you here, Doc.
Well, it's always a joy to get on the air and share God's truth together. Good to have a good guest with us again today.
And good to have some good coffee.
Yeah, I just went and got me a fresh
coffee. I know, we have that blueberry stuff this morning.
Specialty coffee.
Well, we do have a guest today, and we're excited about what's going on at the moment here at Northland. We are in the middle of Missions Conference, and that's always a wonderful time because we get to meet a lot of old friends and get to have our hearts stirred for mission and for ministry. And the guest we have on the program today is going to be one I know that many of you listening are going to want to get more acquainted with. And we have Brother Bill Parks. Brother Bill, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here this morning.
Now, tell us a little bit about where you're from.
I'm from the good old state of Pennsylvania.
Born and raised there?
Born in New Jersey and raised in Pennsylvania.
And you ministered in Pennsylvania as the pastor of...
I was the pastor of High Point Baptist Chapel for about 33 years, beginning in the early 70s.
And they let you stay that long?
Well, they tried to chase me out 4 or 5 times, but I was able to persevere and carry over the
go into hiding for a while.
I hid for a while, and then they let me back out of the box.
I had the privilege of being in your church a couple of times, and I know you had a camp there, and I spoke at the camp several times over the last 10 years, and it was always a blessing to be there and to see the Lord's work there.
We were thrilled with what God did out in that country rural area, and we were so happy when men like yourselves would come and be with us and communicate the Word of God and interact with our people. And we were richly blessed when you fellows were there, and we were hoping that we would be a blessing to you.
And you were. And Doc, you guys have been friends for quite a while.
Yes. You talk about exciting when you go through those Pennsylvania roads, winding and twisting through those mountains and valleys, and then come to this huge complex. Yes. And to see so many men. That's what impressed me so greatly, the number of men who were godly men. And they were men's men. And yet it comes out of a heart of a pastor like Dr. Park, and someone who stays with the stuff. Stays by the doctrinal truth, but also stays with the philosophy of making disciples.
Brother Bill, tell us a little bit about how you came to know the Lord, maybe a little history about who you are and how the Lord worked in your life.
That's a great privilege for me to share that. But first of all, I have to say, as Doc was riding through the hills, not only was he looking for the church, he's looking for golf courses.
Yeah, you're right.
And so we did chase that little white thing around a little bit out there.
Yeah, we did.
In
the
rural parts of Pennsylvania.
Hey, some beautiful courses out there.
But yes, I'd love to share that with you. I had the privilege of being raised in a Scotch-Irish home. My mommy was Irish and my daddy was from Scotland.
No, but that made for some fun discussion.
That made for some interesting arguments. If you could understand my father's brogue, we're not sure whether he was swearing or praying.
He's praying, brother.
But and he had a Plymouth brother in background. So as a little kiddo, I would go to the little assemblies in a place called Audubon, New Jersey, Audubon Gospel Hall, and see how they worshiped. A little circle, communion table in the middle. Ladies with their hats, no music, and be able to hear men share as a little kid. My dad ended up as an employee of Campbell Soup, and he was a welder. And he always would tell us, good, Campbell Soup.
Yes.
And the mornings with a nice soup was a big thing in our home. God worked in his life, and he went to Bible college and seminary and ended up to be a church planter.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
He moved around the Philadelphia area and was able to start 6 churches. And in the starting of those 6 churches, obviously, myself and my sister were intimately involved as children in the founding of these different churches. And we would go to an area, and he would start a church and be there 2 or 3 years, and he would bring someone else in, and they would become the pastor. And
now, did this happen after you were born, after he was married, and you were in a family already?
This all happened after I was born, in the late 50s and the early 60s.
I'll bet you there's some of our listeners who are struggling with that. Some of our listeners might be in a position where they're wrestling with that very call that your dad did.
Yeah, it was interesting because he was in Campbell Soup as a welder in Camden, New Jersey, and was challenged with some of the opportunities, having a Scotch background, being involved in a Brethren church, not finding that in the United States like he found in Scotland, and then looking, and God just directed in his life. And he made a move, transitioned from welding to studying the Word of God.
Now, did you guys move to a Bible college area or what?
Well, fortunately, we lived near what is now called Philadelphia College of Bible.
Oh, sure.
And in those days, it was Philadelphia Bible Institute, I think, in Ray Street in Philadelphia. So we did not live far from there. And they had a large night school program where guys who were working in the work field could go at night. And so he did that for several years and then ended up going to day school. And then there was a little seminary. It's now called Philadelphia Seminary. It was actually a Reformed Episcopal background. And God directed him to go there, and there he trained for a while and met some buddies in ministry and began to get involved in church planting.
So that then led to a life where you were exposed in special, unique ways to the gospel.
Yes. Looking back at it and just sitting here in this room enjoying my water.
We got to mature him, brother, to the to the real stuff.
Get him sanctified.
Yeah, blueberry coffee.
Hey, this is pancake coffee.
That's great. But, yes, I had the privilege, as my mom and dad in particular would go into communities. They obviously would talk to people about the Lord, and I would go to these little small services, you know, sometimes only five or six of us there, and hear the gospel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what a challenge for laymen listening. Some driving to work, there are opportunities to give the gospel right there. Many times that passion will continue to grow and say, this is what I want to do with all of my life.
Yes, and my dad, again, was a successful welder and enjoyed that and continued to do that sometimes to put money on the table, even as he was in Bible college and as a pastor, and he would hire himself out.
Here's a question I'd be interested to hear. How big of an impact, looking back on your life, how big of an impact on your life was that decision your dad made to leave welding, prepare himself, and to get into ministry?
Well, there's no question in my mind that as a result of my dad's courage, I think it would be a good word to use, and trust, because he trusted the Lord to supply, that impacted my life till this very day. And even as a young man who became a pastor, I would look at my dad as one of my heroes because of just watching what he did, stepping out of a comfortable secular situation and moving into a place where he did not have continual income and would be courageous enough to do that. And it was very easy to get along with. And so people enjoyed talking with him, and he loved baseball. In fact, side comment, he actually was in the Philadelphia Athletic Farm System as a baseball player and could throw a mighty fastball. He'd sting my hands as a kid terribly as I was catching him, and I'd go where he would go to pitch sometimes. And he was moving up through the farm system, and his daddy was not happy with him thinking about playing on Sundays. So that's just a side comment. That's the kind of man he was.
Interesting.
So, you know, Doc, you have a term I've heard you use for that scenario where a guy just jumps in with no net into ministry.
Yeah, when I do my part of interviewing future staff here at Northland, I ask, is there ever a time in your life when you went off the cliff? Say, this is what God wants, where you say, I made a step of faith in Abraham leaving Ur of Chaldees type thing, because I want to know if they have in the past made that step, their commitment here will be an easy thing. But if they've never done that, I'm not quite sure that they would totally fit into the total abandonment picture that we have. And all of us can remember the time we went off the cliff to say, Lord, I'm in your hands. And that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, literally going off back exposed.
Yeah, if you're not there to catch, it is going to be one hard landing.
And that does take courage. When I lecture leadership, the first two words I use, number one is courage, and number two is compassion. And you look at that consistently through the Old Testament. Joshua, Caleb, and you see these men who literally gave themselves. And what a model for men, even if you're not quote unquote, in full-time service. You have to have courage and compassion to do the right thing.
And sometimes you have to have almost more courage in certain areas.
It's interesting to put it in those terms, because as I'm talking about my family, we lived in New Jersey, and one of the churches my dad began was in Pennsylvania. And I can remember as a kid him crossing what is now the Tony Palmyra Bridge, which I think cost a dime at that moment in time, and he did not have the dime. And what he would do, he would give his watch, and he'd tell the guy, I'm coming back through after services. Maybe I'll have the money to pay to go over the... And I can remember him coming back and handing the guy a dollar and getting his watch. And so he had no net, believe me.
But that is the what I fear our generation misses a lot, where everything has become very safe and predictable. And it doesn't mean we have to be nuts, but I do believe we have lost that.
That element.
That element of abandonment. Mm-hmm. Say, God, I'm going into your work for your cause.
Well, now, you know, that was how many years ago, Bill?
That was in the early 50s.
So 60-something years ago.
Yes.
And to this day, you have been impacted by those simple acts of faith that your dad exhibited and by the steps of faith that he took.
Yes. I just remember him. He was quite an athlete. I remember him selling his trophies for us to be able to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm. I remember him giving away some of his paraphernalia for sports because we did not have the money. And it was not a begrudge situation at all. It was the Lord is directing. We will take these steps and enjoy life this way. And that was very, very encouraging to me then and more encouraging me to now as I look back.
And what's awesome about it is just to think that he's reaping spiritually the heritage that he sowed in his son, because you pastored a wonderful church for 33 years. And here, you know, after your quote-unquote retirement from church ministry, you're as active and probably more active in missions than you've ever been before.
Oh, absolutely. And a side issue, I've got two sons, my sister's got three sons, and they have all heard these stories, and they're all either in ministry or heading for ministry at this very minute. So it not only did it impact my life and my sister's life, but it impacted our children's lives.
But what a testimony of a godly father.
But, you know, as you're listening this morning to this testimony that Brother Parks is giving to us, Doc and I would encourage you to really become that kind of a person, that you would find that place, as Doc O was talking just a minute ago, to get alone with God and to let your family see you wrestle with God and obey God and take those steps of faith. And I have a feeling if you'll do that, we've heard testimony, Bill, after testimony of men like you who come out of a heritage where somebody in their past took that first step of faith. Well, we're out of time for the broadcast today. May the Lord bless you.